Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 17 and we're going to pick up with verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood.
So the life of the body is in the blood. That's why under the old covenant, the blood was to be placed on an altar to make atonement for the people. And that's why it was prohibited for anyone in the nation of Israel from eating blood or drinking blood. And we've mentioned before the break how, you know, Jesus said, you have to drink my blood, eat my flesh, and drink my blood, or you have no part. So the Jews couldn't handle that because they were so caught up in the natural, they couldn't hear the spiritual. But what is the blood about? It's about life. How do you get eternal life? You can't get eternal life aside from the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Y'all, this is important. We want you to remember it on the test. It's going to be a test question. The life of all breathing creatures is in the blood, and blood is your key word there. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out of the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off.
It's really stressing the point of the blood, not drinking the blood, or if you hunted and you killed an animal that was allowed to eat, you drained the blood of the animal, but you couldn't leave that blood uncovered. You had to cover that. You had to cover that blood. And you think about when Cain killed Abel. What does God say? Your blood cries out from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The life. It's crying out from the ground. And so the Israelites were forbidden to eat blood of any animal, whether it's domesticated, it could be sacrificed, or if it was a wild animal, they still couldn't eat the blood. And if they did, then they're cut off from Israel. Which, when you think about it with Jesus, if you don't take in the blood of Jesus, you're cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's your life.
Yeah.
Now you see why the Jews were struggling so much with what Jesus said. You've got to, he would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You have to hear what the Spirit's saying. You don't trust your natural ears and your reasoning to think you know what's being said. You have to listen to the Spirit of God. And as we said earlier, when you hear something that you think, I don't know about that, check it out. Get before the Lord. What are you saying? Or if it's someone else's said it, how about explaining that to me? Are you with me? You know, a good example of that is I grew up in a church, and they stressed sanctification. But never could anyone explain sanctification. But yet, you know, they, if you followed their procedures, you say sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit without being sanctified, but nobody could tell me what sanctified was. Never did know what sanctified was. But thank God, through His Word, He revealed to me what sanctification is. You follow me? You don't just accept things at face value, but find out what's being said. What does this mean? How does that apply to me? There's more to it than just a testimony. I'm telling you, I look back now, loud in church, you know, they call on you to testify. The pressure's on you. You see, if he's living right, if he's a heathen. So you stand up, you saved, you sanctified. Now, I didn't even know what sanctified was. I say, yeah, I'm sanctified. Well, thank God I know what sanctification is, and today I am sanctified by Jesus Christ. You understand? And to keep yourself set apart through Him on a daily basis.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You think about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, He's made unto us wisdom.
Yes.
And righteousness. And yes. Sanctification.
That's right.
And redemption.
Yeah.
So, that's all in Jesus. And that was a liberating thought. I read that. I thought, yeah, I'm sanctified. Jesus set me apart. Jesus set me apart from the world. And that's what, after the study of sanctification, I realized it was setting apart. I don't know why nobody ever told me that. They just say it means that you don't ever sin. I thought, man, I'm like Paul, I was the chiefest of all sinners, you understand? So I couldn't grasp that. But thank God for the revelation that He gives us through His Word. Amen.
Amen. Verse 15. And every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or that which was torn with beast, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Then he shall be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity.
There again, God's specific, and He has some strict rule. If an animal died of what we would call natural causes, they couldn't eat that animal. They're separated. God's wanting them to be different. And if they did eat from that animal, they were unclean. And the only way they're going to get clean is by following the protocol God has laid out here in the law. They have to cleanse themselves. Their body that here is physical. They're washing, okay? It's the same way with an animal killed an animal. You couldn't eat the animal. If you did, you were unclean. Well, I thank God that Jesus has covered all these bases.
Mm-hmm.
And He's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. I'm telling you, no wonder He said we have a better covenant established upon better promises.
That's right. Very good. Chapter 18, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. This chapter documents the laws regarding sexual sins and sacrificing children. Chapter 18. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments, and keep my ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord.
So, the Lord said, all right, you came out of Egypt. I don't want you following the practices you learned in Egypt. I'm taking you to a land and giving you a land of the Canaanites. I don't want you to follow the practices of those people. I want you to stay totally separated to me. You do things my way, not the ways of other nations or other people. Don't follow their lifestyle, but follow the judgment and ordinances of God. And he says, I'm your Lord, I'm your God, so you pay attention to my statutes and my judgments. If you do, then you live by them. You understand, those that kept the law would live by it. But if you don't, then you get yourself in trouble. You get yourself cut off from the nation. You follow me? Now, a lot of people like to jump over these areas, but God is detailed, very specific. He wants to make sure that there's no question about what he means about his judgments and his laws and his statutes. And he gets into to detail in these following verses that we're going to be looking at, where God, the things that God's prohibited the Israelites from, just generally speaking, they're not to have sexual relations with blood relatives. Well, he's not leaving it right there. He's going to make sure you know what he means by blood relative, to where you can't say, well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
No, you're without excuse. And so he wants to make sure that we know what's right in the sight of God and what's not. Okay? Now, we're not under the law, but there's principles that we need to glean from the law, the things that we need to learn. Okay? And if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to do right anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? People say, well, I'm not under the law. I can do this or I can do that. What is the Spirit of God leading you today?
Right.
Well, the Spirit of God not leading me. Yeah, okay. You need law.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
The law for the lawless.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Spirit of God's leading for you, you're not without law. You're just following the law of God. When you love God with all your heart and you love your neighbors yourself, you fulfill the law, you're not going to violate. Okay?
That's good. Verse 7. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness.
Now, he's very specific here. Don't have sexual relations with your father. Don't have sexual relations with your mother. Your father's wife, that could be a stepmother or a concubine, whatever, you know, from under the Old Testament. You'd be surprised at things that I hear, have heard, as a minister, and that how much of this goes on right now, right here. I mean, incest is a high percent in this particular county. A lot of incest. Okay? And it's amazing how people can, I'm trying to be very vague with this because I'm thinking about something in particular, but how people can be so naive and just throw caution to the wind and say, well, the Bible says to honor your father and mother. And so if your father or your mother is wanting to have sex with you, then you're to obey your father and your mother. Do what's right in the sight of God. That's a violation in the sight of God. Okay? And I'm telling you that if that father or that mother is thinking that way, they're perverted in their thinking. You don't follow the devil. You're to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay?
Verse 9. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
All right, that's pretty plain. Don't have sexual relations with your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother. It doesn't matter whether she's born at home or whether she was in another place. It says don't expose her nakedness. Now we're learning what a blood relative is, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. A specific daughter of your father or daughter of your mother. So that means if your daddy marries someone who has a daughter, leave her alone. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness.
Now, don't have sexual relations with your grandchildren. Here again, you'd be amazed at how many kids are molested by grandparents. And you're going to tell me that you a born-again believer led by the Spirit of God and committing perverse acts? That's against the law of the land. Okay?
The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Here again, we mentioned this earlier, but he's reiterating here, you can't have sexual relations with your stepsister.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinsman.
And do you not have sexual relationships with your aunt? Either your sister or your father, your mother. Don't expose the nakedness of your uncles, what it's saying here. He's not just pulling these things out of the air because these were practices. They were practices of the old, were they coming out of? Practices of the place that he's taken them. And you'd be amazed at how much of this occurs today. You understand? Before the law, Reuben violated, didn't he? He went into his father's concubine, didn't he? His father's wife. And so don't think this is just strange stuff. No, this was a problem. And so God's dealing with a problem. I want you separated.
Verse 15. Because we talked about uncle, didn't we? Yeah. 15, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
We don't have sexual relationships with your daughter-in-law. Now, you'd think, you know, a normal person wouldn't even be thinking this direction. But I'm finding there's a lot of abnormal people out here. And so there has to be some laws of the land that govern. But then, if we're born-again believers, we should be governed by the Spirit of God. He's not going to lead you into any kind of perverse relationship.
Verse 16, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness.
Now you're not to have sexual relation with your brother's wife. did not expose her nakedness. Now here again, you've got to get the full counsel together. Because later on, it says if your brother's married a wife and he dies and he didn't leave children, what do? You to marry his wife. So don't go off on the deep end with all this stuff. While your brother's living, don't marry his wife. That's what got John the Baptist in trouble. He confronted Herod.
That's right.
Because he had married his brother's wife. He had violated the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness.
Get an idea who relatives are?
Mm-hmm.
A woman, her daughter, the woman's grandchildren. Abstain from it.
Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime.
So don't marry your wife's sister as long as your wife's alive. Now, this tells you that at this particular time, that polygamy was still being practiced. Right? And so this is why he has the laws out there governing this. He didn't say it was against the law to have more than one wife. Right?
Right.
And I'm not promoting this, so don't you go there with me. Okay?
Right.
But he's being specific. You don't marry a woman's sister while your wife's still alive. Okay? But think about prior to the law, what did Jacob do?
Rachel and Leah.
He was married to sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, Leah.
Mm-hmm. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Uncleanness.
So a man's told not to have sexual relations with his wife during the menstrual period. Well, do you think that would be some common sense, cleanliness and this type of thing, sanitary? But, you know, there's people out there that are somewhat perverted in their thinking and have such drive that they can't control themselves. And so there's a law given to control them.
Verse 20, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her.
So you don't have to have sexual relationship with your neighbor's wife. Now, in the Ten Commandments, that's called adultery. Okay? But here again, he's spelling all this stuff out. Make sure you know.
Verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord.
Now here he's talking about child sacrifice, not to give any of the descendants to Molech. Molech was the chief god of the Ammonites. God said, don't defame the name of your God. But you look at the kings of Judah, of Israel, you'll find that some of those kings would sacrifice their children to Moloch, other god. How many people today are sacrificing their children? Some of them dedicate their children to the devil when it's born. It's amazing. God gave them to you, then for goodness sakes, be responsible and take good care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly don't offer them to some other god.
Mm-hmm. 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination.
Well, you know, this is the big deal today, that you're supposed to embrace everything. I'm going to take God's side. Man is not to have sexual relations with men. Well, that's under the law. Read Romans chapter 1. Mm-hmm. You'll find it's new covenant. Same way with a woman. It's right there in Romans chapter 1. Men lusting after men, women leaving the natural use of the man, lusting after women. It's perverse. As a matter of fact, it's disgusting to God. That's what abomination is. Abomination means disgusting. Mm-hmm. And so these type practices are disgusting to God. Why would He incorporate that? Because they had a problem with that. Well, if you didn't have a problem with it, you wouldn't need a law, right? And it's against the law. Even in our own our book, it's against the law to have those relationships. You didn't know that, did you? But they're trying to change the laws all the time to make everything acceptable. Mm-hmm. But it'll never be acceptable to God. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created man, male, and female. Mm-hmm. Not male and male. Not female and female. The only way you can get reproduction is with a male and female, in case y'all don't know your anatomy. You with me? I better move along. I'm telling you, this nation is being destroyed with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's spitting in the face of God.
Yes, that's right.
And we'd better stand up for truth. Kids are being deceived. They don't even know. I ran into something just here recently. Anyway, they don't know if they're a boy or a girl. Well, somebody needs to take your parents out and give them an anatomy lesson to where they teach you. Mm-hmm. You're not born that way. It's demonic. So don't come at me with, well, I was born that way. Well, look in the mirror and see how you were born. That will identify your gender. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm preaching to the choir. Go ahead.
Verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion.
Well, he had to address it because there was a problem with it.
Yes.
Men and women having sex with animals. You'd be surprised it's going on right here today. Perversity.
Yeah.
Perversity. God says, don't you be like them, and don't you be like them. You be distinctly different. You keep yourself holy. You keep yourself pure. You keep yourself clean. Now, that doesn't need an explanation. I think you're smart enough to figure this stuff out. I'm telling you that the people are so engrossed with their animals today, their pets, that it's pathetic. And I've seen some things myself that I thought there may be a whole lot more going on behind closed doors with that pet. If you're that enamored with it, you better leave the animals alone. That's an unnatural relationship.
Verse 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants.
Now you listen to what God is saying. Mm-hmm. He didn't pull these things out of there. He said, this is what's going on in the land of Cana. That's what's going on right now. That is why the land is ejecting them. Mm-hmm. You're given their land because their perversity is driving them out of the land. Don't you be like them. If you go in there and you act like they're acting, you'll get driven out of your land. Now, interesting enough, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And they were driven out of their land. Israel went into captivity with Assyria, and Judah went into captivity with Nebuchadnezzar because they would not honor the statutes of God. It's amazing, isn't it? How history will repeat itself. We should be learning what not to do instead of following the pattern of what caused the people to be destroyed. The thing that's going on in this nation right now concerns me. You're wanting to be like other nations. You're wanting this. You're wanting that. You want to get God out of the way. God made you as great as you are, and now you don't want to be great anymore. You want to be like the other people. You want to be evil. You want to be perverse. You want to see your nation go into a control that you can't imagine that even exists. And I can tell you, you don't want communism. Mm-hmm. These people just think they do. They don't know what communism is. If you're all that enamored with it, then go to a communist bloc country. It doesn't even make sense, does it? No. God said, don't you be like them. I'm driving them out. And if you're like them, then I'll drive you out.
Mm-hmm. 26. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you.
So, it's just like we were saying. God said, this is the reason they're leaving, because they practices these things.
Yeah.
If you practice these things, then I will reject you as well. I'll drive you out of the land. I don't know why we think we can get by with stuff. No. God's an accurate record keeper. You understand? He's a merciful God, but there comes a time when the line drawn. Mercy ends, judgment begins. Turn to him on the mercy side.
Right.
Because you don't want the judgment. I promise you that.
That's right. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people.
All right. God's saying, commit these practices. Any soul that does this, cut off. I don't want them identified with me. Right. Now, it's amazing how in today's society you have the perverts pastoring churches. God doesn't want to identify with that. God won't identify with that.
That's right.
You with me?
Yeah.
He said, you know, I'll cut them off.
Right. Verse 30, therefore shall you keep my ordinance, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God.
So here again, I mean, God has given them warning way ahead of time, long before they go into the land. You understand, many years before they go into the land, they're to keep these ordinances of God. And if they keep the ordinances of God, it will prevent them from committing these abominable practices that these heathen have committed that were occupying the land at that time. And so God warns them against defiling himself. And he says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the self-existent God. There's no other God that can make that boast. And so they're to keep themselves separated from the world. As born-again believers, we're to keep ourselves separated from the world and to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So time's up, and that ended that chapter anyway, didn't it?
It did.
To each enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you put it before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week.